I'm glad you brought up Juicy Butt, and let me tell you why. Do you remember when Finn Wolfhard first saw the goo coming from his ceiling?
Yeah.
And he looks
Yeah.
up there and he like
Oh,
sticks his finger in. I just imagine Slimer up on top, like, oh.
yes. He's like, oh,
You sick bastard.
what's up, freaks, geeks, gals, and ghouls, and welcome to another spooky adventure of the Final Guys right here on Corpses for Conversation, where we talk about nothing but the good, the bad, the ugly, and everything in between. I am Toxic J, aka Evil Dead Batman, along with my horror buddies for life.
So Cal Leatherface.
Dimebag the Clown.
All right, gentlemen, how are we feeling tonight?
We're feeling amazing, bro. Amazing weekend. Baseball's starting up again. And you know what? Ghostbusters is back on the screen.
Back in business, baby.
Back in business, baby.
So we are reviewing Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. What is it? The fourth installment in the Ghostbuster franchise.
Well, fifth if you count.
No, fourth. Yeah. We're going to do fourth, okay? I kind of thought about saying that, but like, nah. We're going to give us our thoughts, what we like about it, what we don't like about it, and our overall general rating. So overall, I mean, I'll start first. I loved it. Plain and simple. For me, it was like watching a real life episode of the real Ghostbusters. It was so cheesy, but it was good cheese from beginning to end. Like, I loved it. I mean, what about you guys? You guys feel the same way? What?
I loved it myself as well. I'm in there with you, especially me being the older of the crowd here, being an 80s kid growing up with the original Ghostbusters. I was 11 years old when that came out, and like, this brought back all the feels, man.
Definitely. I mean, yeah, overall, I did love what I watched. There were certain things where kind of to turn off the brain for a little bit, but overall, I felt that this was a great continuation to the universe that they already rebooted just a few years prior with Afterlife. It was a great add-on to the franchise.
With the Rotten Tomatoes score and all the YouTube critics, not including ourselves, because, you know, we're in a league of our own. Do you think it deserves all the hate?
Not at all, dude. I don't see no complaints about this movie. I had a smile on my face the whole time. Whoever's saying, oh, I didn't like this movie, oh, it sucked. And where the hell have you been?
It's the critics, man. This is exactly what I always say. They hate horror. You never do anything right in horror when it comes to them. And just giving them one more thing to just nitpick at. What are you trying to compare it to? The original Ghostbusters? Is this ever going to be the original?
And exactly the same case over and over again. The original XYZ. And I'm like, dude, you need to stop doing that. Stop comparing to the original. Yes, nothing is going to beat the original, but you could say that about a lot of movies from a lot of franchises. Ghostbusters wasn't made to be taken seriously, so why do they want to treat it like every film they watch is an Oscar-nominated film? That's not the case, dude. Mm-hmm. Ghostbusters is supposed to be like a popcorn fun movie. I had no issues with it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, you know, I totally agree with you. It's not going to capture that lightning in the bottle that the first original 1984 Ghostbusters did, but we are still going to have fun with this movie. You know, you are going to bring back these original characters like Dan Aykroyd, Bill Murray, Ernie Hudson, but you're introducing these new characters into this franchise. I mean, which you did in Afterlife. You're growing with these characters now. We're going to get into it, but I'm happy with these new characters. I have feelings for these new characters. I'm like, yes, I love them. I want them to succeed. I feel bad for, you know, if anything happens to them.
I totally agree with you, man. And then right from the start, when we first get our first ghost busting kind of adventure out there in the car, I felt that this is ghost busting in 2024 when he busts
Correction,
out the RC
Ecto
car.
Ecto-1, not just a car, okay? Don't be a Paul Rudd. Don't be a Paul Rudd.
Yeah, don't be a Paul Rudd. It is not a hearse. It's an ambulance. Okay, Paul?
Ambulance.
If you're watching this, it's a ambulance.
It's a very tiny ambulance, man. They're just going to tuck you in the back and hope you survive till you get to the hospital. But anyway, when they busted out the little drone, that's what I knew. And I said, this is totally a 2024 style, upgrading their gear to what we would use today. And I loved when I seen that thing pop out and fly out the top. And I said, all right. I wondered what new things they were going to do. We already know we got the proton pack, but what else are we going to be seeing?
In the original, you establish the characters, right? So in like part two, which I'm in a small minority, like I love part two. You know, if I get hate for this, me personally, I love part two a tad more than I love the original. Don't get me wrong, I love the original, but I love part two. Maybe for like sentimental reasons, because that was actually the first Ghostbuster film I've ever seen. Yeah, like I said, I'm in that minority, and I loved Afterlife.
Maybe you just like Jackie Wilson. Mm-hmm.
That song was gangster, okay? So, but going back to my point, is like they established who they were in 1984. Then they reestablished themselves 5 years later in 1989. So years have passed, and they reestablished once again for Ghostbusters Afterlife. Now, this film, Ghostbusters Frozen Empire, they're already established, and they hit the ground like running. And like, dude, I loved it because I don't need a retelling a fourth time.
Yeah, definitely. There was something I wanted to bring up with the characters, though. It's like Diamond mentioned, we have grown to love these characters since Afterlife. And I feel like they did a couple characters dirty. Meeting like our main characters, which is Finn Wolfhard, they kind of just turned him into like a whiny 18-year-old when he wasn't that way in the first one. He was still a teenager, but he wasn't as whiny. He was more like looking for love or whatever you want to say. And then Phoebe, like our main girl, everybody loved her in Afterlife. And in this one, she just seems very angsty. And I don't really believe that she is a angsty kind of kid. She seems like a good kid. So to see her be like this badass now and break the rules kind of thing, it was all on the director. It's nothing on the actors and actresses, but I don't know. I just didn't really find it believable that they're changing our characters that way.
I don't think it's really changing the character. I just think it's just trying, like, she's still young, so she's still trying to find herself. We've all been through that, trying to figure out who you are at a young age. So I really think this is the first time she's kind of felt isolated or left out since she is underage. And Walter Peck, you know, dickless, basically benched her from ghostbusting and
child slavery or
labor, you know. But this is what she wants to do, and obviously, like, when you have so much free time, especially in her case, what is she gonna do?
And science has been her life. She's known science. Obviously, she's never known her grandfather, but
it's in her blood.
It's in her blood. So for them saying, oh, you can't do this now, what am I supposed to do?
Ironically enough, she was the one that restarted the Ghostbusters. She was the one that basically brought it back into light and found the car. And now she's the one that's being left out in the second film. It's pretty messed up.
The basic plot or the synopsis of the story is Ghostbusters are back in New York. You know, they're well established. You know, they're still like, could be the mayor, Walter Peck, or anybody else, just still giving them a hard time for what they're doing. You know, like, in the meantime, like, that's kind of basic. Like, it's a simple premise. Just like the other ones, there's this big bad threat. I do like the direction they went with this movie. It took heavy influence from the real Ghostbusters cartoon back in the 80s. The director had said that. Gil Keenan, I believe is his name is. And then Jason Reitman. They've already said it was heavily influenced. So they were like, I don't want to say preparing us, but when I saw the final product on film, it shows. But I guess there are a lot of people that never even knew there was a Ghostbuster cartoon. And I'm pretty sure those are the people that hated the film.
Yeah, and just from the beginning itself, you know, when they showed 1904.
And that was different. I like that.
Yeah.
Did you guys catch on when they bring that up that, yes, the movie starts 1904, right? New York, in the firehouse. But when they're getting the legend of that orb later on in the movie, they say that the thing hasn't even been spotted or documented since times when they were just etches on the wall. And I'm like, so no one notified anything about that 1904? Like, that was just for us to know, but they never
I guess, it. And I don't know, I could be wrong, but in Afterlife, didn't they mention 1904 when they were down, they were reading, I think, 1904
or 1984,
something like that. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I didn't have time to recap with Afterlife, but, like, could be wrong, but...
Yeah.
So I thought the orb that contained this ultimate evil of Mung's evil... To me, it looked like a squared version of a Rubik's Cube, you know?
Circular.
Yeah, but it contains, like, the unholy demon Garaka.
Garaka.
Garaka. You know, it sounds like a straight-up metal band, you know? Like
Garaka! Excuse me.
Or Koff, or, you know, or Baraka from Mortal Kombat's, like, twin brother.
He is the big bad of this film. Most of the movie, over an hour, is just them building up towards this guy unleashing his evil and freezing everything. The movie is called Frozen Empire. I feel like there was very little frozen things happening in this film, to be honest. I know they said the legend of Garaka, and they said that the Fire Makers or whatever, that whole team, they captured him. They took off his horns, and all of that stuff. So when he gets free, he wants to take his horns back, but that was not even the source of his power. He just wanted the horns because they looked cool, I guess. And yeah, just a lot of this film.
Wait, what if Garaka is actually the demonic form of Elsa? He's like, let it go. Let it go. Dude, I just thought of that right now. Holy crap.
Insert metal version.
Then maybe I should watch Frozen a little more then, you know?
It was called Frozen Empire. I wanted a lot more things to be frozen. And from the trailer, I thought that was going to happen a lot earlier in the film. I don't know if you guys, what you guys thought about that.
It didn't bother me, or like alternate and deleted scenes. So hopefully when the physical media comes out, which I collect, I hope they do like an extended version and add all those scenes in that they probably got cut.
Yeah, I did want to see a lot more Garaka in this. Like, you really only see him like near the ending, final battle. But there should have been a lot more Garaka. You know, I'm not going to spoil it, you know, too far into the episode here. But we're going to talk about it later.
So let's just go ahead and break it down then right now. Let's just say a couple of the things that we did like to start with, because we keep mentioning we don't want to bring stuff up too soon. Let's just break it up like that. What are some things we did like? And after we're done with that, we can talk about maybe some things we didn't like too much about this one. What are just some of the things you guys really loved about this film? Maybe it's like characters, something specific. I mean, me, myself, I love that they kept the little mini Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. And every time you see them, these guys are just driven to kill each other. And it's hilarious that they just die with a smile. I love seeing these guys.
Yeah, them and Slimer, man. They brought back Slimer in this one. It was good seeing Slimer with that little juicy butt of his.
See, I'm glad you brought up juicy butt. Because, and let me tell you why. Don't get excited. Do you remember when Finn Wolfhard first saw the goo coming from his ceiling?
Yeah,
and he looks up there and he like sticks his finger in. I just imagine Slimer up on top, like, oh,
he's like, oh,
you sick bastard.
Like, for me, I guess the things I liked about it are the good, in which a lot of people didn't like. I liked some of the subplots. So I liked Callie Spangler and Grubison's. They've been together a while since Afterlife. So obviously they're not married, but she comes with, I guess, two packages, Trevor and Phoebe. And like, he's still trying to figure out, should he be like a father figure or their friend? You know what I mean? And obviously Callie, she's kind of encouraging, you know, like she feels already comfortable. Like you could tell them, hey, you don't do this and that and stuff like that. Obviously, he's still kind of like hesitant about that stuff.
Yeah,
he doesn't want to cross that line. So I really like that little subplot story. I did like Slimer. The scenes that he was in was pretty gangster, especially, well, I don't want to ruin it, but I'm probably going to say it anyways, was the possessor. So the possessor gets into the pizza and then is ready. Like, dude, that's probably I love pizza. Like, I wouldn't even know how to react if like a pizza was literally trying to kill me. You know what I mean? But like perfect timing, like when he's about to attack, all of a sudden Slimer comes up and just like, you know, the crowd like cheered in the theater when they saw that scene.
Now, one thing, bringing up the original Ghostbusters, remember when Slimer was eating, though, wasn't the food like just dropping through him?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, so like in this one, it dissolving the food.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're right. The pizza disappeared.
Yeah,
I didn't notice that. I thought it dropped.
No.
Only three slices. Like he lifted it, but only three slices fell out of his hand or whatever, and he just took the rest of it.
Well, just like technology or everything else, he evolved. I guess his stomach was like, you know what, we can just...
Yeah, and then I like the fact that it's incorporating the real Ghostbusters animated series and how Slimer actually used to live in the firehouse with the Ghostbusters. So that's another thing that brings in the real Ghostbusters.
I do like the fact when Finn's Trevor, was it during that pizza scene? And then he was like, hey, I know that guy. Yeah, I thought that was hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so like,
I know. He's,
they're accepting.
I like when he set out the trap with like a little line of Cheetos. He just puts it over the trap. It's funny, dude. And Slimer just for some reason lives in a pile of wrappers. That's just where he lives.
Race Dance and Winston like let it happen. Like, okay, we know this guy. To me, the pacing of the movie was okay. I enjoyed it. A lot of people said it was too slow. It was a slow burn, yes, But, you know, for me, that was good storytelling. I was invested in the characters. Dime, you know, who always has to take a piss every 40 seconds, sat through the entire movie.
And you're talking about, like, you know, with previews and everything, over 2 hours. Because this movie clocks in at an hour and 55 minutes. Yeah, they could have probably cut out some stuff, maybe a few minutes here or there. But I was happy with as long as it was. It moved fast. It wasn't really a slow burn for me because I was invested on what was going on. They had my attention the whole hour and 55 minutes.
And you know what's funny that you say that is because a lot of people were like, it could have been longer. It could have stretched it out for more storytelling. I thought the pace and everything was just fine. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry to say, but we live in a day and age where people expect way more. Why can't you use your imagination?
The fact that we've been waiting for Ghostbusters like this in the city for a while now. We haven't seen one since, what, 2016? But that was a flaming garbage pile.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah.
No idea.
2016. Yeah.
So,
well, I'll say this. The lady that was sitting next to me in the theater, she actually looked like Melissa McCarthy. So I was like, I kept looking over to her. I'm like, are you Melissa McCarthy? I'm like, no.
She was probably raging.
Checking out the competition.
Raging with jealousy. That's one thing I did like. Afterlife never mentioned anything related to Ghostbusters 2, except for Raise a Cult. But in this one, it does. You know, like in the little quick news clippings and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they mention about the Statue of Liberty and all that stuff. So I really appreciate that. Like, watching that Statue of Liberty scene still, like, at my age, I still get goosebumps.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so it's still good. I mean, hopefully, like, at one point we review all three of them, the real Ghostbusters movies. Yeah.
I think I sense a bust-a-thon coming on.
There's so many good things I liked about this movie.
What was Bill Murray's character's name? Venkman.
Damn. Like, did you?
Because I get Spengler and all that.
They're all science.
I would love to see Slimer and Venkman come together again. Like, just face to face. Just to see what would happen. You know, in that.
Oh, yeah.
Well, maybe they had like a peace offering. He goes, you know what? You don't bother me, I won't bother you.
Right.
When you do see Peter Venkman come out, and he like knocks that little thing, pulls out that bottle, takes a swig. That was the moment right there. Like, Slimer's there, and he just kind of looks over. He's like, you know, truce. And Slimer just takes a swig.
Oh, okay. So the first time you see Peter Venkman in this movie, you know, he's, oh my God, what is his name? The Fire Master. There you go.
Oh, I'm not even gonna try to pronounce his name.
Yeah. So, you know, I do like. I kept laughing because like your Venkman was just really going at it, just throwing those pins, you know. I'm like, man, this guy's gonna get his eye or something, you know. Just like I thought that scene was hilarious.
There was another thing that I feel that this movie, it would have been great for it to be a surprise. And I mean, I feel like it would have benefited just to have it in there. If they could have gotten Rick Moranis to come in.
Yes.
If they could have had him cameo. You know, at the end when they're all trying to pull down that lever and have all of the, you know, the legacy OG characters doing it. And it seems like they just need one more bit of help. That was the moment for him to just come in and like slam it down.
But you know what? I think all those critics would even slam it even more. Be like, he just came out of nowhere. Yeah. You know, I'm like, who cares? I mean, like, I would love to have Louis Tully back in a Ghostbusters.
Yeah, I would love to. I was waiting for that too. I was like, please bring back Rick Moranis. Like, I thought that he would never go back to acting after what happened to him. But like, I would love to see him back on the screen again.
And they asked him for Afterlife, and they asked him for Empire. It's his choice, and we just got to respect that, you know?
Yep.
Yeah. The way they threw in, though, Harold Ramis's ghost at the end of Afterlife was just that little touching moment that just kind of skyrocketed it. Like, I love this film. And that little moment of him just coming back at that moment would have been the same kind of feels. Yeah. Like, oh, man, like, here he is. He's back, you know?
Either him or Sigourney Weaver.
Or Sigourney Weaver, I know, right?
Yeah.
You know,
she like, did make an appearance in the 2016. I know we don't like it, but she was in it.
Yeah. But she was in the end credits too for Ghostbuster Afterlife, if you guys forgot about that.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, see?
I did forget about that one.
So, what about some of the things that were like in the middle for you?
There was nothing I could have done without. Like, I love seeing the Ecto Cycle. That was actually pretty badass.
That was too. That was straight out of the real Ghostbusters.
Oh, like, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been a while since I've seen the Royal Ghostbusters animated. I'm going to have to go. Is it streaming?
I don't think so, but you know what?
Just look it up on YouTube.
I have it on physical media, so I don't got to worry about it.
Yeah, so I mean, bring out the Ecto Psycho. Oh man, that was pretty badass.
And I was telling Poison, I leaned over, I go, you know what? I want to binge watch the Real Ghostbusters now. It gave me that whole vibe, man. But what was kind of like in the middle for you guys? Like me personally, like what was like? You could have gone either way. You could have done it if it was in the movie or not. Like for me, the whole Firemaster character.
I got one.
It was a little out of place. I could have gone either or with it, but that was probably like the only thing that was in the middle for me.
Yeah.
All three of us at the same time? I think we all have the same one.
What are we thinking here, Dime?
Three,
what do you think?
Two, one. Melody.
Yeah, the ghost girl, Melody. I think that the movie could have done without her.
Well, now that's reaching into something that you didn't like.
Well, it could have done without her, though.
I'm just saying the movie could have done fine without her. I mean, her only importance was one match.
That's funny. Yeah, like but other than the Fire Master, I mean, I guess since you guys have no formal, you can go either way, we can just also talk about the stuff that were bad. And for me, it was Melanie. I don't know if it was just the subplot itself or just the actress who portrayed her. Like it was so annoying. And I didn't care for it at all.
Was that like the fastest game of chess you've ever seen? Like, I've never seen people play chess that fast. Just boom, 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 boom. Like,
well, then you haven't seen me play. And chances are, I'm not winning. Because I'll lose, like, within 5 seconds.
That'll be a fast game, though.
Yeah, exactly.
Checkers. I never play chess. I play checkers. But
what do you guys think about, I don't know if this falls into just, like, a dislike. Maybe it could patch back into the could have done with or without. I know, TJ, you said you did like it. But I feel like the movie could have done without or with whatever when it comes to the whole father dynamic. With Paul Rudd, with the awkward, I don't want to, you know, be your dad, or like, I don't want to make myself appear as your dad. He puts him in this awkward situation. Like, I want you to be my daughter and I really like you. But like, just a couple years ago, that was his student.
Yeah, you
know
exactly.
What I mean? They already have a friendship, but I don't know. I just felt
it's
the whole
kind of weird.
Father daughter
like,
thing was just.
How bringing that up in a conversation? Oh, how did you meet him? Oh, he was my teacher. That just sounds weird.
And then we save the world from ghosts. So it gets even weirder.
In the movie, he actually mentions that he was a step teacher.
Yeah.
He was the sub, right?
No, I meant, you know, coming from a father of two girls, I really enjoyed that. Someone attempting to be the father to a child that's not biologically yours. Mm. And obviously that's awkward in any position or any person. But I liked it. And I thought it was sweet. You didn't need to be overcomplicated like all these critics are complaining about.
Yeah.
After all, in the end, at the end of the day, it's just a goddamn Ghostbuster film. This is not Last of the Mohicans. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Now, see, I understand that statement entirely because I felt myself enjoying this movie from beginning to end. And every time a little thing like, oh, that's weird. She's friends with a ghost. Or, oh, that's weird. There's this awkwardness between him because he's like her dad now. And it would just kind of overshadow it with like more nostalgia and more fun. And I'm just getting back into the story. And then they kind of like threw it in and just the perfect cracks. So it doesn't ruin the movie for you in any way. But, you know, if you're thinking back, you will kind of be like, like that did happen.
That was a little sweet moment at the end when she calls him dad. I was just like,
I had this like feeling that was going to happen. So I was waiting for it. I go, just call him dad, man. Just do it, you know?
Even though she didn't hear that little speech, she wasn't even in the room. He's like, when he's talking through the door. And she's like off doing something else, but like, you know, he's talking through the door and that was like a,
what did he say? I'm glad we had this talk.
Yeah. She's miles away.
Yeah.
That does fall under one more thing. I feel like I didn't like about the movie. I love the movie, but one of the things I feel I didn't like revisiting it in my mind is I felt that the characters in this film were all very one dimensional when it comes to like your main cast. They're only about one thing. Phoebe's just angsty and Finn Hart is just, you know, kind of like mad. He's 18 and all that. The mom is just always upset and wants Paul Rudd to step up. Paul Rudd is always this awkward, oh, I'm the dad. And you want to see that character development throughout the film. And I don't really feel like we got as much character development. I feel like towards the end, maybe at the very end, they change a little. But I feel like they were mostly the same throughout the whole. What do you guys think?
I thought... Like I said, you didn't need to be overcomplicated with things like that. And I thought the pacing and the character development, like, You don't need to make things any harder. Like you know who they are, if you either love them or hate them. And I thought that was fine.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it. There wasn't one part where I was like, oh, that didn't make any sense. Oh, well, yeah. I didn't get that feeling at all. Just like, before I go on my like rant, just people nowadays expect too much from too little.
I'm going to wholeheartedly agree with TJ on that one. You know, it's like, it's a Ghostbuster film. You get what you get. Like you said earlier, it's not Last of the Mohicans. It's not Oppenheimer. It's Ghostbusters. You know, and these are characters that you already know, you already love. It's
about a bunch of grown men chasing ghosts.
Yes.
So why do you have to take it so seriously?
True story.
Like, okay, like, I'm sorry, but it's just like, to me, that's very idiotic.
And, yeah, we all know it's not going to win an Oscar.
Exactly. Okay. So there are only maybe about two YouTubers that I truly respect their opinion because they give their answer and why. Like, there are some, like, oh, man, I can't. They just follow the masses and just want to hate it, you know? Mm-hmm. And they all say the same, pardon my French, they all say the same fucking thing. Well, I was a fan, XYZ. I'm like, if you were a fan, then you would have totally got this film. It's mm-hmm. okay to be a regular moviegoer and enjoy this film or not. But to claiming that you're a true fan and don't like this film, it's idiotic. You know, like, I live for this shit, dude. You guys know that how I feel about this franchise. And, I take a few franchises very seriously. This is one of them. You know, like, I know the lore. I know that, like, I read. Obviously, I watch the cartoons, but I also read.
You have a proton pack, for Christ's sake.
I got a goddamn proton pack.
The whole suit.
You know, I take this shit seriously. My daughter is... and me are part of like Second Division Ghostbusters. Shout out to them. So they all loved it. You know, I know a couple other Ghostbuster groups. They loved it too. It's just jumping on that gravy train, man. And it just annoys the shit out of me that people do that.
But you see, you said it right there, though. You loved it. You being a 41-year-old man, but your daughter, I'm sorry, how old was your daughter?
She's 8.
She's 8.
Just her 8.
She loved it as well. So that demographic between an 8-year-old and I'll say me, 51-year-old, dude, it's broad aspect there. You know?
And in the end, Ghostbusters is a family film.
Yes.
It doesn't matter if you're 51 or 8. It's all about having a good time.
Exactly.
And if you take like this franchise way too seriously, then you need to rethink your personal perspective on life. I'm sorry, man. You know? It is what it is. Like I said, I got tattoos, I got books, comics, etc. You name it, I have it when it comes to the Ghostbuster franchise. I can name every ghost within Token Spirit Guide. I can name their classes and all that other stuff. Like, there are really good storylines that you could take from the real Ghostbusters or the IDW comic books and make it into a feature film. And I feel like this is the first step. Afterlife just brought it back, refreshed everybody's memory. But going forward, I think this is a great step to what hopefully things are to come.
Definitely looking forward to see what Ghost Corps has up their sleeves, man.
You know, like Sony Pictures, like treat like, hey, Marvel has their own studio. Let's, you know, do the Ghost Corps. Thank you, Dan Aykroyd and Jason Reitman.
Oh, yes.
They generally love these characters. And I do this in 2024. My favorite Ghostbuster, believe it or not, is Winston Zeddemore. I love Winston Zeddemore. You know, and I love the fact that he's finally given his time to shine and he is treated as an equal.
Give the man a Twinkie.
What'd you say?
Give the man a Twinkie.
No, I love what they did with this character, though. I love what they did with this character. I love where his character has wound up in this franchise and in this universe because he showed up there at the firehouse because of a want ad and he didn't care what he had to do. He didn't say, I don't even care what we have to do. I just want to get paid. He was the working man. And now you look at him because of all that hard work. Now he's like a millionaire, and good for him.
And then I know you said it off camera, Dime, or you said in the beginning, they were complaining about Bill Murray. Like, oh, he just phoned it in. And
yeah.
What did you say?
He was there. I read this review saying that, oh, Bill Murray just seems like he phoned it in with this character, you know, Venkman's character. That's Bill Murray. This is his character. This is how he acts. That only, even You go back to the 84 Ghostbuster, the same Venkman was in 84 as it is now. You didn't get nothing different.
And if you didn't know about 84, they were trying to get Bill Murray. Yeah, he said, yeah, he'll do it. And then they kind of lost contact with him. And they didn't know if he was actually going to do the film. Right. So no one heard from him or anything. But day one, boom, he just popped out of nowhere. And the rest is history. So that's how Bill Murray is. And like you said, a lot of his movies. What about Bob, Caddyshack, The Man Who Knew Too Little?
Groundhog's Day, exactly. Yeah.
So you can't say, oh, he just phones it in. That's his personality.
He's a living legend, man.
You know, I mean, a living legend that did Garfield, but, you know, whatever.
Ain't nothing wrong with Garfield, man.
And so, okay, so when it finally picked up and shit hit the fan, when we see the Frozen Empire and Garaka's, like, wrath, that whole third act was pretty badass.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just, like, I was, like, on the edge of my seat on that stuff. And, like, to me, everyone thought the third act was rushed. I didn't think so. I mean, could have been a little longer, just a tad, but, you know, I've seen worse. So you don't think, and that's another thing that irritates me. It's like, oh, there was too many characters, right? So at the final, you see like 20 of them. I mean, we're exaggerating, of course, but
there's a lot of Ghostbusters.
Dude, you think only four people can just do Ghostbusting? No, man. Like, are you serious? Like, you know, I mean, like, okay, so there's, you know, a comic series, or there was a comic series, you know, Ghostbuster International, where you had different divisions from all parts of the world. You know what I mean? So, like, like, if they ever went that route and they all had to come together to face this ultimate big baddie, are you going to say the same thing? Or are you going to praise it? Because I'm like, that's kind of contradicting yourself.
And obviously, the proton packs weren't even working on it. On a regular proton pack, wasn't working on Garaka. So they had to...
I thought those visual effects were cool. He froze it.
Yeah, that was badass. But Phoebe had to actually modify it in a way. She had to put the brass in it.
Brass.
That's what held Garaka in, was the brass balls. You know, the brass ball.
Balls.
Brass balls.
The brass balls in what the spear was kept in, because he couldn't escape the brass. So that was, you know, keeping him...
And I think that was very clever. Like, I didn't even think of that. I was like, holy shit, that's dope, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Imagine if they all had that, though. Imagine if she would have had time to modify all of them. And this guy busts in the door thinking he's about to kick freeze everyone. And they just, like, fire up the things and just tear them to pieces.
One thing I did notice, though, because she cut up part of the fire pole to get that brass. But yet they showed him sliding down the fire pole. At the end,
it was two
going to fight Garaka. I'm like, wait, didn't they just cut that fire pole up?
Maybe it was the bottom. I don't know. I have to rewatch it, but maybe it was just the bottom.
I was like, wait a minute.
There are two poles, though. I think it was just one of them, but nobody even mentioned, like, hey, the pole's not here anymore. You know what I mean?
It's just another thing that popped in my head. Like, all the new Ghostbusters, let's just say, they were super into it. You know, just like the dialogue and the exchange between characters, like, yeah, okay. Instead of in Afterlife where they're like, I don't know what I'm kind of doing, or like, this is weird, to like fully embracing it. You know, I thought that was a big step forward, and I liked it. And to me, like I said, this movie is world building, not character building. So eventually, hopefully, and I believe that I know Jason Reitman wants to make a trilogy, so this is technically part two. So I hope part three is even better than, for whatever reason, people want to make... Oh, this movie sucks. I can't stress that enough. So watch, part three comes out. Oh man, this is great. But, and you know what? It's just going to be as awesome as this one.
Let me ask you, what would you like to see in the Ghostbusters franchise? If they were to expand the universe, what would you like to see within this?
Me personally?
Yeah.
Two things. I would like to see the Ghostbusters go up against Samhain, turning everything to dark, and every day is Halloween. We all love, all spooky kids love that. Or, I mean, they would have to kind of tweak maybe the script a little, but I would love to see them go against the Boogeyman. Because in the real Ghostbusters,
Michael Myers' ass, man.
Like, the actual Boogeyman. But, like, Egon was had, you know, issues or had a vendetta against the Boogeyman. And obviously, Harold Ramis is no longer with us, so they can alternate mm-hmm. that script or whatever. And then the second, I would like to see, well, third technically, I would like to see a version of Extreme Ghostbusters. Now, okay. if anybody doesn't remember Extreme Ghostbusters, came out in like the late 90s, which I thought this was kind of like they were going for, but they added four new characters, four different characters. They were all college students. They were mentored by Egon Spengler and Janine Mellons. Now, obviously, like they could switch out Egon for Winston or even Ray as together. You know what I mean? But I would love mm-hmm. to see that. But here's my question for you guys. Now, if we get more than one more Ghostbuster film, do you think it would work if, like they say, hypothetically speaking, they did a movie based in Los Angeles, but it was with four new Ghostbusters?
I would pay to see that.
I was thinking that's where you're going with this, with like expanding the franchise. It's kind of like what you had mentioned. There will be different Ghostbusters in different regions, and they're just kind of like an overall team spreading out across, you know, America, the world, however you want to do it. I would definitely watch that.
Or like a darker version of Ghostbusters. Like you said earlier, you know, Ghostbusters versus Samhain. That would be awesome, but like do a straight up horror movie. Because this one and Frozen Empire, you actually do get a part of
creepy moments.
Jump scares. Yeah. You get jump scares in this one. So
you know, the most horrorish. Okay. The horror element came out in this movie than any other movies previously.
Yeah.
Yeah. They always made the ghost look more, how do you say, like neon colored, bright. A little comical in the original Ghostbuster films, but they really went for like terror in this one. When you see that really big one that's like in the darkness inside that room,
and he's that peeks his head out all slow. Oh, that blue one that had like a weird skeleton with sharp teeth yeah. face. That guy was yeah. creepy. Or that ghost was creepy, but I loved it. And how
you know what that one reminded me of is the one from the ghost from Poltergeist when they opened the closet door and he's just like, ah, you know.
Oh yeah, yeah. I can see that.
Yeah,
I think it looks like a Spawn. When a clown turns into the big old violator.
Oh, the violator.
Big old head with the horns and all that.
I do like the possessor. I thought that one, I mean, you don't technically see what he looks like. It's just like one of those like lights that like, you know, you would flash to like have the cat run or dog, you know?
Oh, yeah.
But dude, that I was dying, man, when he possessed that trash bag. And they're just like chasing the trash bag through the library.
They were, so to speak, taking funny. Out the trash.
See, okay. The main guy that's in Winston's facility, I believe his name was Lars. He's the blonde hair, thick rimmed glasses. I was really getting like those Egon vibes from like the real Ghostbusters with the blonde hair.
I don't know. Maybe they were going for that, you know?
I think they were, man. I think they were. I was wondering if you would catch that. Like,
yeah, I was like, I don't remember what. If his glass lensless were red, I'm like, oh, okay, that's only obvious. I don't remember, but I have to look back on that. But yeah, I totally had that like that vibe, you know. And like podcast and Lucky, they didn't really have a whole lot of screen time, but for the most parts that they were in, I really liked.
Yeah, it was like when Lucky was up against the spear. I was saying she was up against the spear, and they froze the spear, like her ecto, her
the stream. The stream.
And then she was starting to freeze up. I was like, oh, no, come on. You can't kill off Lucky, man.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think the trailer did show her freeze.
Yeah, it did. And I said, like, I did like the freezing of the proton streams.
Yeah.
And it just, I don't know, it just looked like gelatin to me, you know?
Yeah. You know what's funny in this film is that after they get in trouble with the mayor or whatever, and then they lock up the firehouse. Yeah, Dickless. They take away all of their proton packs. And then they get to their firehouse and they're just like, oh, what's this? It's been locked. Phoebe, crack that lock. And then they just go inside, act like nothing ever happened. They're like, oh, what? You took our proton packs? And then later on, you know, here comes Winston. He's like, hey, guess what, guys? Brand new proton packs. Don't even worry about it. It's like for the rest of the film, it's like that didn't even matter that they confiscated their things and locked up the firehouse. They just got it right back. And then you're just like, oh, yeah, that never happened.
Yeah, because they got that extra, that lab. That they could go to, yeah. Which an aquarium, I think it was, right?
Yeah, it was like a
They were running out of space for the containment unit, which is completely cool.
And it's funny because it never occurred to me, out of all the years that I've been like into this franchise, like thinking, and they addressed it in this movie, how much can the containment unit hold? And I thought about that. I was like, oh, I never thought about that. And I felt stupid, you know? So,
yeah. Like, it was the 80s. No one cared.
Exactly.
No one thought about the future. That was a great line.
All right, gentlemen. So we're going to just wrap this up. I'm going to go down the line. I mean, there's not really a gore meter. So,
you know. Slime meter.
It's a slime. Slime meter. Like,
Slimer's juicy ass meter.
I don't know what's with you and Slimer's ass, but, you know.
Dude, did you see his ass?
Yeah, it was pretty big.
Almost so, as big as mine, man.
So I'm going to get, okay, how about for the spook meter? Let's call it that. So 1 to 5 on the spook meter. What do you give it? I'm going to start with you, SoCal.
See, this movie, like we had mentioned earlier, it did go for the more creepier aspect of it. Some of these ghosts are more on the scarier end. They're not really meant to like make you laugh. Like, oh, hey, it's a ghost. That's funny. Except for the one that throws up. But even though that little, what's it called? Like little vomit one or whatever.
I think it pukey.
Yeah, he does look cute, but at the same time, if I seen that shit roll over to me, that shit's creepy and it's still scary. So, I mean, spook meter, man, we're going with like a solid, oh, but then they got those really big bad ones. Still want to say a solid 4. The only thing that would have pushed it to a 5 is if one of these things would have ripped off their faces and showed some freaking gore, you know? But other than that, I'm giving this a 4.
I'm probably going to give it a 4, too.
I'm with you on that one.
It's still pretty high, but like, yeah, I give it. It could have been, I guess, spookier, but for the most part, yeah, it was pretty solid. Like, I like the spooks. I jumped a few times, you know, and I was like, I never jump in a Ghostbuster film, but then again, it's a ghost film, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm gonna have to agree with you on that one. I'll give it a 4 as well.
Why would Phoebe take the soul out of her body, guys? Would you guys do that?
Nope.
I just want to see how it feels to be a ghost for 2 minutes.
Yeah, I was waiting for Melody to mess with the timer. Susie, her soul came out of her body, and she breaks the machine or something. You know, I was like,
yeah.
And then like Phoebe's stuck in there as a ghost.
I'm like that, man.
So okay, overall, we're gonna for you, Dime. So rating this film, 1 to 5, 5 being best. How about 1 to 5? Slimer's juicy ass.
Yes.
Slime ass. Okay, I'm gonna give it a 5. Like, I did not take this very seriously. Like, after all, in the end, it is a Ghostbuster film, and I love Ghostbusters, so I love the mythology and I love the world building that this installment had planted, and I'm looking forward to the future of the franchise. You know, people are like, oh, put the proton packs away. No, the more the merrier, I say. So I give it a solid 5.
I'm gonna have to agree with you on that one. Solid 5 for me as well. I wanted to go in hating this movie just to give you shit.
And I remember you telling me that, man. I was like,
the super fan over here. But you know what? I'm going to agree with you. I want to see more Ghostbusters. I want to see more films. Jason Reitman, Dan Aykroyd, get on that shit, man.
Before you give your rating, SoCal, I don't know if you guys know that they're actually working on a new animated series as well. And I believe Netflix is doing it. So, nice. Like, I'm looking forward to that as well.
Hell yeah.
That's something to look into. When I first came in here, I did have a number in my head that I wanted to say, and I put some thought into it, but I feel like that has kind of changed talking with you guys here and hearing it from the age wisdom, from the super fandom wisdom, and just really taking in that kind of thought of, don't take it too seriously. I mean, I'll anybody
put some
can
love into your heart.
Yeah, I mean, it grew 3 sizes that day. Yeah, like anybody could nitpick any film and just say, hey, that doesn't make sense, or oh, that shouldn't have been there and everything. But you know what? You're right. This is a Ghostbuster film. That was part of my out of the movie reaction. And it gives you everything that you look forward to wanting to see when you go watch one of these new Ghostbuster movies. I just have to go ahead and agree with you guys, man. I gotta give it a 5. I want to see more. I want to see what they're going to do. I wonder if the writer and director are going to do that swap again for the third. They've been swapping this one.
Either way, it's in good hands if those guys still continue to do it.
Yeah, between the two, I enjoyed Afterlife more, so I wouldn't mind that swap. Let's sit back and see what we got. But yeah, I do have to give this movie a 5, guys. We have a
perfect score. 5. So let me actually put it this way. Okay, so right here, and I have it on VHS, Ghostbusters 2. When this movie came out, people hated it. But over the years, people finally learned to appreciate the film, what it was. It expanded the universe, the lore, etc.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you think Frozen Empire, within a few years or maybe longer, do you think it'd be appreciated then or eventually, like Ghostbusters 2?
I'm going to have to say that it's going to stay as it is. It'd just be the sequel, but the first one would be the better of the two, or these two. That's just my opinion. What do you think, Don?
I thought this one was better than Afterlife. I enjoyed this one
oh,
way better.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, and I'm not, like, dude, I'm not knocking that. You know, like, I love both films. If I had to pick one, Afterlife was more of a tribute to Harold Ramis, and it was a little, it had a little more heart to the film.
Yeah, and
Frozen Empire was straight up fun. They're two different movies, if you think about it. So it's kind of hard to tell.
Also, too, four of the five films are in New York. Yes, I'm throwing the 2016 in there as well. But four of the five films are based in New York. And now you got Afterlife that's based in
Oklahoma.
Oklahoma. You know, mm-hmm. you change the setting, it doesn't work. So that's what I'm saying. It's like, if they do go to LA, yeah, it's still the city. But I will, you know.
So you think Ghostbusters belongs in New York? Or any small town.
In a big
town.
City.
I don't want to say, no, take that back. I don't want to say small town, a packed town. Because, you know, New York is very, like, squished in. Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, how about, I don't know, do one in Vegas? That'd be pretty cool.
Ghostbusters Vegas?
Why not?
You know, like,
Honey, I Blew Up the Kid.
Yeah, exactly. You know, maybe like they have some big giant ghost go to the T-Mobile Arena and smash the Golden Knights Arena. You know, I hate that team. I would love to see that.
What do you think about this? Ghostbusters 3, Viggo's Revenge.
Egon's the villain.
He was planning it all.
Made all the money.
And be like, wait, I thought Ghostbusters Afterlife was part 3. No, this is the real third movie. So, in conclusion, Freaks and Geeks, a solid 5 all around for Dime and SoCal. Is it rewatchable? Yes. Is it worthy of a physical media? At least on my end? Yes.
Definitely.
You know,
see if we get that extended cut.
So I think it's time to make like a tree and get out of here. So I, Toxic J, a.k.a. Evil Dead Batman.
So Cal Leatherface.
Dimebag the Clown.
And why don't you make like a tree and get out of here.
And as always, be kind and rewind. All right.
Wait. Sorry. I was going to press leave me and then we had to start over again.